Good afternoon. Welcome in day two coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. You heard the voiceover guy, Doug Plagans, Red Deer Randy Moeller here with you for the next 2 hours. Lots to get to. We're talking Florida Panthers, of course. We're talking NHL Draft. Panthers on tap with 6 picks here this afternoon. So if we are able to get some of those on the air in the next 2 hours, that'll certainly be a big centerpiece of the show today.
It's going quick,
Doug. Potentially run those picks down if we can get them on the air. We've got tons of fun to be had. We're going to have our friend Billy Lindsay coming on later on in the show as well. We're going to talk about all the trades that have gone down in the National Hockey League. We'll dissect a little bit of what happened last night up in Montreal at the NHL draft. So tons to get to, but hey, what better way to kick things off here on day two of our NHL draft coverage than right now? We've got Panthers president CEO Matt Caldwell on the line joining us. Matt, how are you? Thanks for stopping by. Great to talk to you as always. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great. Love chat with you guys. Wish I was there with you, but I'm here in sunny Sunrise with the crew hustling, getting ready for next year.
Well, Matt, you know, you build off the momentum of the team that won the President's Trophy last year, 122 points, and put up incredible numbers. First off, we got to talk about and ask you about the momentum from that season and the exciting going 34-7 on home ice and that. How has that translated into the success in this offseason and going into next season?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, you know, I try to tell the business staff, you know, that we can't just sell wins and losses. We got to provide a great experience. We have to do right by our fans no matter what. But certainly, I mean, anyone would tell you, any owner, any CEO, you know, salesperson, that, you know, winning is a big driving factor and very important. Like what the team did last year is incredible. It was their best season, you know, really, at least the regular season that the franchise has ever had. I mean, it was historic by any means. President's Trophy was amazing. We're very proud of that. I know it didn't, you know, end where we wanted. It ended abruptly in the second round, but we did get our first round win, which we've been, you know, chipping away at for many years now. You know that very well, Randy. Yeah. And the fans were great. I mean, of course, we were all upset about losing in the second round. And I, you know, I had my therapy sessions, you know, days leading after the loss. It's hard. You care so much, but fans were amazing. I mean, everybody was, they really lifted me up with emails and texts and stuff that I received and social media of how much fun it was. You know, we're all trying to win ultimately, but you know, we also want to have a good time when you come out to the arena. So I was so proud of that. And yeah, I mean, it's just very simple. I mean, every revenue line item in the whole franchise, including attendance, of course, are at record numbers. You know, we got people that are, you know, spending their hard-earned money, you know, and coming out of COVID and choosing to come out to us. And you know, we announced a number of big deals last season, you know, that have been kind of in the making. You know, so it's good to see big corporates that are investing in us. So it's good. Yeah, we just got to keep building on it. We can't get complacent. We can't, you know, just rest on our laurels about last year and just keep this momentum going and carry it into next year.
Matt Caldwell, Panthers president and CEO, kind enough to join us here this afternoon as we kick off our coverage of the 2022 NHL draft, which is always an exciting time and a benchmark in the hockey calendar. Matt, we've all been here for a long time, and we've seen this thing building up and kind of going off what you just said right there. I know when you're out wearing a Panthers shirt around town, people would say things. People knew what this team was building. Did you sense that buzz growing around town in the marketplace, and how rewarding was it to see that buzz? Because on game nights we felt it inside and you could feel it outside.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the in the arena, the attendance, if you're there, I mean, I think all the revenue, all that speaks for itself, you know, and the numbers and all that, financially, all that stuff speaks for itself. It's they're just raw data and facts. But you know, you nailed it. What I was more excited about is what was going on outside the arena. And you know, for a while, you know, the team had struggled, and you know, the Viola family has done everything they could to turn around and get it going. We've, you know, we need everything right. But we had our ups and downs. We had some good years here and there, but now it's totally different. We've had two real consistent years. Bill Zito's leadership's been phenomenal. We've weathered some storms, and anywhere I go now, first off, a lot more people recognize me now. A few years ago, I'd walk around, and not that I'm any kind of celebrity or anything, but it's very obvious. Just going to restaurants, going around my neighborhood, I live right here in Fort Lauderdale, and going around Sunrise, Parkland, Coral Springs, people recognize me, other staff members, Bill, of course, coaching staff, players. Players have told me that a lot of them are getting recognized. They used to actually enjoy not getting recognized. Sometimes it's nice to be able to be private, but it's also like, that, Randy. But it's also nice to see the buzz. I was just talking to someone this morning, one of our staff members, that I had to go down to Miami and Hialeah, which is, a lot of our markets, Broward County and Palm Beach, and we do draw from Miami as well, but only certain parts of it. And they were at a hospital, and they just had to go there for a checkup. Doctor was like, "Oh, I'm a huge fan. I just bought season tickets." And all these little anecdotes, like, they all add up. They're not onesies and twosies. I can tell you, if I did some kind of analysis and collected it all up, it's multiples greater than where we started, the brand's alive. It's really exciting. And when you go to, like, league meetings, I just got back a few weeks ago from the Board of Governors, which is, the commissioner, Gary Bettman, all the owners, and my old family has me go there and represent them. And we're up there with the big boys now. People have a different view on the team and how far we've come. And teams like Tampa and Nashville and Dallas and, Carolina, of course, in recent years, they're all folks we want to beat on the ice, but off the ice, they've set a nice trend, to show that the growth of hockey outside of Canada, outside of the original six Northeast. And it's great to see all these Sunbelt franchises doing well. It's great to see.
Matt Caldwell, the Panthers president and CEO, joins us here on our draft coverage. Matt, the team and the league released the schedule for the upcoming season. I'm really excited about it. Maybe take us through not only some of the highlights from the schedule that I think is very, very fan-friendly, and some of the times, and especially you got those prime dates on the Saturdays, the weekend games, and then it kind of leads up to what's going to be an exciting kind of long weekend when the Panthers are going to be hosting South Florida, and Fort Lauderdale will be hosting the NHL All-Star Game.
No. Listen, schedule is always a hot topic. We it's very important for all teams, but especially for us. We know our market. We know we're an event town. We understand where the building's located. It's not the most convenient for where population centers are. But regardless of all that, we put in a lot of requests. We have a great season ticket holder base that comes to all the games, which is wonderful to have. By the way, for next year, we'll be over. Well, we haven't hit it yet, but just the way we're pacing, we'll be over 10,000 season ticket holders. Between all of our fulls and then the folks that come on a half game basis, but we kind of equalize it all by adding two halves to be a full. We have our new premier plan, which people are super excited about, which are all the premier top games, the weekend games, the top opponents. So we're going to be over 10,000, which is wonderful. I mean, more than half our arena is already, baked for next year. And then the schedule's vitally important. I mean, just to simplify it, we push for weekend games as much as possible. That we've heard our fans loud and clear. We've done surveys. We've seen results. We've seen people, last year we had, Buffalo on a Friday and San Jose on a Saturday, and, great franchises, but not normally our biggest draws, but, Friday and Saturday nights, people want to come out and see us. And there's a lot of local fans, and those are some of our biggest crowds of the year, more than, even Montreal or New York Rangers. So you can, and no offense to folks from Buffalo or San Jose, I don't think they were flying in, in droves for that game. So it's all local fans, which we're excited about. So we're getting new people. So over half our games, 22 of our games will take place on Thursday and Saturday, which are two hottest nights. Thursday nights are super popular. We have 10 Thursday games and then 12 on Saturday, which is our most popular date. So we're pumped about that. We open up against the Flyers. Good draw. It is a Wednesday, but I think opening night at this point is, with the way the team is going to be really, really exciting. And then we got Tampa a few days later on that Friday night. So, you know, obviously with the rivalry with Tampa, that's been one of our biggest draws now. You know, back in the past, we didn't have as much of a rivalry as we do now, and we'd have to depend more on some of the bigger you know, franchises, the Montreals, the New Yorks, Torontos. But now the Tampa rivalry and that game is hugely popular from attendance and revenue. So that's awesome. We have the All-Star game, which is phenomenal. We've been working on that ever since Vinny bought the team. We got the draft early on, and then early on in his ownership, and then we were able to get the All-Star game. So we're super excited. That's going to be phenomenal. I know a lot of teams are excited to come to Florida and South Florida, especially. We got Colorado right off their Stanley Cup. I mean, that's going to be an amazing matchup. That's on a Saturday night, which we're pumped about in February, which are always big draws for us. So we'll be fired up to have them come into town. So it's good. It's I think you never get everything you want, but I think the major pillars, especially get back on a regular cycle now, is phenomenal. So,
yeah, those schedule makers have a heck of a task ahead of them each and every year, and the Panthers have a lot of good dates, no doubt about that, over the course of it. Just to get everybody updated where we are in the draft, the Blackhawks right now are on the clock with number 90. The Panthers will be making their first selection at number 93, so we've got that coming up here shortly. Panthers president, CEO Matt Caldwell joins us. And Matt, you talked about a lot of the weekend dates and things like that there, but the Panthers have a smattering of 4 o'clock Saturday games on tap this year, the first of which will be a game against Ottawa at the end of October, October 29th, to be exact. But kind of an exciting thing there, and something that should be fun for all of our families that like to get out and attend the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's another one. That's probably, we have so many different customer segments, but, you know, the family of four, young kids, parents that grew up with the team, and that's really our core base, you know, generally speaking. So we tried to get, you know, weekends, of course, but then, you know, times that work best for families. And we moved our Saturday games to 6 o'clock last year. That was hugely popular. We've gone back, you know, all teams go back and forth between 7 or 7:30 during the week. We've tried everything. We've settled on 7 o'clock during the week, ultimately because our families like it a little earlier. I mean, I got 2 little ones now, so I understand if my wife wants to come, get there 5:36, enjoy it. You know, game starts at 7, you know, by 9-ish. Hopefully we're up, you know, 4-1, and if she needs to get home for the little ones, she can take off. So, or, you know, I'm always encouraging them to stay, and but yeah, 2 years old and 6 months is always tough. But yeah, so I think that's good. The league was, you know, very accommodating, I should say, working with us.
Before we let you go, Matt, we got to ask you as well. And I've always been a big fan of this individual, Paul Maurice, longtime NHL coach. What does this signing of the head coach, Paul Maurice, coming to South Florida, the way he communicates, and a veteran coach that has had a lot of success, been around, what does this mean to the Florida Panthers franchise?
Yeah, it's a huge development. You know, Bill Zito, we've been super happy with as GM, and we fully empowered him. We're very collaborative with him. We're obviously very supportive with the budget, but we're very much, you know, behind him, and he's got a great staff. We don't make any decisions in isolation or piecemeal fashion. We consider everything. And, you know, I think what it symbols, you know, everyone is entitled to their opinions and stuff, but I think it shows, at least from our view, you know, and we feel strongly in our opinion, that we're just never satisfied. You know, Vinny said from day one, we want to win the cup. I think every team says that. I think every team has that goal, at least come training camp. But, you know, we've always tried everything to, you know, make every decision possible to win it. And, you know, when we've made mistakes, we've admitted them. We've adjusted fire, if you will, to use a military term. And, you know, we had a wonderful season, like, from a business standpoint, and for, you know, President's Trophy, regular season, first round of playoffs, all those things are amazing things that this franchise hadn't seen, you know, in the President's Trophy's case ever, but, you know, in a very long time since they went on their run back in 96. So I think a lot of people might have been satisfied with that, and we're happy that our fans love it, and they're having fun, and they're renewing their seats, and they're buying more. But we're certainly not satisfied with that. My whole family's not, myself, Bill, the rest of the staff. And, you know, we did, you know, Bill, he said, you know, from the moment the season ended, he was going to do a deep, thorough search. If you know Bill or you watched his actions over the last 2 years, he's a deep thinker. He's looks at things every which way. Because at least we know, yeah, we it's hard to get every decision right. You're not going to be 100%. Sometimes even just being 75% is good. You know, baseball, you bat 300, it's great. But you, if you put all the inputs and the process in, it makes you feel better on the other end. So we did all that, and we deep dived on everything. We wanted to give our staff from last year a chance, but ultimately, Paul just checked so many boxes that we were looking for. He's obviously very experienced, and he was so aligned with the way Bill sees our team, the way Bill sees the future, and that alignment's like so important for what we're building here. So we're pumped.
Yeah, I think with the way he communicates, the way he's engaging, approachable, going to play really well in the South Florida market as well, with media, with fans, with the hockey staff, mm-hmm. and players, obviously. Great hire there in Paul Maurice. Last thing here before we let you get going, Matt Caldwell, Panthers president, CEO, here with us this afternoon. Matt, I know talking to you, it always gets us fired up about Panthers hockey. I know a lot of folks in the listening audience right there probably feeling the same thing. We're about 3 months away from dropping the puck on a new season. But, Matt, we got a Select-A-Seat event coming up on Wednesday night out at FLA Live Arena. I know I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really cool to be able to do something like this in person and get in touch with a lot of our fans out there. But tell the folks about that. I know if anybody out there is thinking about reserving a seat at FLA Live Arena for the Panthers coming up this season, Wednesday night is the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we've done some of these in the past. Other, you know, this is common in sports. I would say this year is very much different because a lot of seats are already taken and they're going, and we have limited supply. There's a ton of demand. I mean, I don't have to tell you. I think you can just see it, you know, online or talking to people. So there's nothing better than coming, spending time with us, doing things in person. I mean, even in the remote, you know, Zoom, post-COVID world, social media world, to me, all those things are very important, but nothing's better than meeting our staff, spending time with us, feeling us, walking around, sitting in your seat. And we pride ourselves on service, and you know, we hear something, you know, that a fan doesn't like, we try to dig in on everything we get. So I'd encourage all of you to come out July 13th, next Wednesday. We have an incredible sales staff that'll be showing what's available, and there's nice incentives, and there's nothing better than feeling the energy this summer and next week and picking your seat. So, we're going on sale with our, you know, the schedule's out, and we're going to be going on sale with single game seats soon. So, once that goes, you know, games are going to get picked apart, especially all the big ones. We have, you know, 20, like I said, 22 weekend games. They're all going to go very quickly. So come get your either season ticket or your premier plan. Let's go from there. And as we're talking, I'm seeing Panthers are picking. So you got to make sure, you know, I got to shut up and you guys can announce that.
Matt Caldwell, Panthers president and CEO here with us. And yes, the Panthers about to make a selection here. But Matt, we thank you very much for stopping by. Panthers president and CEO taking some time out for us. Matt, thanks again. And we will see you. We'll see you very soon. But again, thanks very much for stopping by here on our draft show.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
right.
Matt.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Matt Caldwell, Panthers president and CEO, we thank you very much for your time. And, well, the Panthers have made their selection at pick number 93. A defenseman, Merrick Ulscher, has been selected by the Panthers. So we hope to have him here at some point, perhaps joining us. We'll see if that's going to be possible as we cruise along. He's been selected up there in Montreal. Merrick Ulscher, a left-shot defenseman out of the Czech Republic. 6'3", 196. He was just drafted in the third round, number 93 overall by the Panthers, their first pick in this draft. Played in the Western Hockey League last year, Randy, with the Portland Winterhawks, 16 points in 61 games. So a guy playing in North America, getting that introduction to the North American style, was a plus 20 in 61 games playing in Portland in the Western Hockey League. So we'll have more on that coming up on the other side of the break. We'll try to run him down if we're able to connect with the newest Panthers draft choice here in just a little bit. So again, the Panthers have made their first selection here in the 2022 draft, pick number 93 in the third round. Defenseman Merrick Ulscher selected by the Panthers coming from the Czech Republic, played with the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League last year. So more on him. 11 games in the playoffs last year for Portland as well. Big defenseman for the, drafted by the Panthers. So again, more on him coming up on the other side of the break. We'll recap what happened yesterday. We'll go through some of the trades later on in the hour here that have taken place. There's a growing laundry list of those. We'll have former Panther, my broadcast partner on the Panthers radio network, my friend and yours, the Blonde Bomber, Billy Lindsay.
The big shot, Bill Lindsay.
We believe he's going to be stopping by later on in the program here. We're with you till 2 o'clock here in the East, so stay with us. We continue our draft coverage on the other side of the break. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller here with us. Once again, thanks to Panthers President and CEO Matt Caldwell for his time here on our draft show. We'll get to more nuts and bolts from the draft, tell you more about Merrick Ulscher, the newest Panthers draft choice on the other side of the break. This is our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
AM 560 Sports, WQAM,
FM 99.9 HD2,
and streaming on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller from Bally Sports Florida, of course. See him on the Panthers telecasts. Well, we're covering it all for you here. We're with you till 2 o'clock covering the 2022 NHL Draft. And Panthers just made their first selection at the 93rd pick. They didn't have a pick in the first two rounds. Number 93, defenseman Merrick Ulscher from the Portland Winterhawks of the Western Hockey League. A big defenseman, an 18-year-old, now a Panthers property. He's been drafted 6'3", 196 as an 18-year-old. So a guy with some size on the blue line. The Panthers draft, folks, lines up. Well, we'll tell you how that lines up here in just a moment. A reminder, the Panthers' schedule is out, and the Cats are back at home on October 19th for the home opener against Philadelphia. Download the full schedule at floridapanthers.com/schedule to see your Cats back on the ice. Big thanks, by the way, again, to Panthers President CEO Matt Caldwell, who stopped by last segment. Great to chat with him. Lots of buzz around this Panthers team after the President's Trophy winning season they put together last year after that first round playoff series win over Washington. So a ton of momentum once again for the Panthers going into this upcoming year. The Panthers draft lines up like this, and of course we'll talk about some of what's going on around this draft and around the league from the overall league perspective. We'll get to a lot of the trades. I know a lot of you folks out there tuned in. One of your favorite things about drafts, maybe not necessarily the picks, you like when the commissioner goes up to the podium and says that we have a trade to announce. I know that's what gets a lot of the buzz this time of the year as we get into the crazy offseason. We'll tell you about some of the trades that have been made around the National Hockey League. Lots to keep up with. Billy Lindsay's going to be stopping by later on in the program, so we'll talk to him, potentially be able to run down a Panthers draft pick or two, time permitting. We'll see how things go. So lots to get to. But in mentioning the Panthers draft, here's what the roadmap looks like. They just made that 93rd overall selection. Next up for the Panthers, their fourth-round pick will be at number 125. Right now, the LA Kings are on the clock at number 103. This second day of the draft, rounds 2 through 7, things start to really pick up and fly pretty quickly. So I don't think we'll be that far away time-wise from that 125th pick. The Panthers' fifth-round pick will be at number 157. After that, I don't think we'll still be on the air, but the Panthers' sixth-round selections, they have two of them, number 186 and 180. And the seventh round selection for the Panthers, pick number 221. So that's how things line up for the Panthers for general manager Bill Zito the rest of the day. Now, crazy things can happen. The Panthers could wind up making a deal, getting additional picks, trading. We'll see what happens. Wouldn't rule anything out. It's been a wild couple of days already at the draft with signings, with trades, with things being exchanged, everything like that. But, Randy, something here to talk about. I know we talked about it last night. Folks who are maybe new to the NHL draft, but maybe used to the NBA draft, to the NFL draft, and those drafts, even into these middle rounds, into the later rounds, teams are drafting for a need. They're drafting to fill a roster spot. They're drafting looking for contributors. In the NHL draft, not necessarily the way things go. We are years away from seeing a lot of these guys really come into their own as potential professional players. And as you get further along in the draft, that's where your scouting department really goes to work, because naturally, as you get further along in a draft, you have, you know, fewer and fewer future star players. But we've seen plenty of diamonds in the rough picked over the years. The Panthers got Mackenzie Weegar in the seventh round a number of years ago. So this is where you really can find your depth. But, Randy, in mentioning the Panthers picking a defenseman, you can never have too many of those either.
Yeah, not too many blue-chip defensemen out there. It's all about scouting. Like, when you get into this second and third round and later on in the NHL draft, as Doug was saying, these kids are 18 years old, and there can be a lot of changes, both physically and mentally, developmentally. For
you could grow 5 inches.
18 to 20 to 21. So it's the onus is on the scouting, and then as soon as the scouting does their job, and hopefully they hit on what they believe are the players that can be NHL players, then it goes immediately to development and to monitor their development. And then right after that, then it's an opportunity. And the players have to earn that opportunity, but it's a gamble. It is not easy. It's difficult to project where an 18-year-old player is going to be physically and mentally in 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
And that's what makes it fun, but it also can be very nerve-wracking. One of the standouts of this draft so far, and it started last night and it's gone and especially picked up this morning, is this carousel of goaltenders that are moving. Fleury re-signs with Marc-Andre Fleury re-signs with Minnesota. Okay. Now we've got a goaltending situation there. Georgiev got traded from the Rangers down to the Avalanche, the Stanley Cup champions.
Which was the goodbye Darcy Kemper move, pretty much, is what happened.
Well, we'll talk about him in a second. Stevie Yzerman, Detroit Red Wings, they make a trade with St. Louis and get Husso, the goaltender there, and immediately sign him to a 3-year deal. Then you've got Vitek Vanacek in Washington. And he gets traded to the Devils. And so now New Jersey's got a log jam, and not quite sure who's the 1 or 1A in New Jersey. So there you got Darcy Kemper. He's going to be he's out there looking for a job in the NHL. Jack Campbell, same thing, unrestricted free agent. But what's really intriguing and how I built this up, you've got two, and let's say the third one, it could be, because any team that's got Alex Ovechkin is obviously a threat. You've got Stanley Cup favorites, top favorites in the Leafs, the Oilers, and the Washington Capitals that have no goaltending. They don't have a goaltender. Not one, not two. They are going into the second day of the draft and into free agency, which comes up on Wednesday. And that one big missing piece is it's almost like the NFL where they're going through the draft and free agent, and they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, you have the rest of the roster, but you don't have the quarterback.
That's it. That's how you can kind of describe that. And I just find it just fascinating what is going on right here. We're going to see a lot of movement. We're going to see, Doug, a lot of desperation moves. And what desperation moves in the NHL means you're going to have to throw draft picks or a heck of a lot of money.
Or term.
Yeah. Money and term. To get out of that hole, the one thing the Panthers have, their goaltending, they don't have an issue with goaltending.
It's a strength.
It's a strength on this team, and they don't have an issue with it. I know it's been floated out there that maybe the Panthers maybe should consider maybe Sergei Bobrovsky, and unless that happens, it's not even worth talking about. The good thing is, as we sit here right now, Doug, the Panthers do not have a goaltending problem. They are. That's one of their strengths, and a lot of teams out there, and especially the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Washington Capitals and the Edmonton Oilers, they've got a goaltending problem in that. So I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, you go down the list, Randy, and tell you what, Jack Campbell, he's a free agent out there. He played for Toronto, did a pretty good job for them last year. He's probably loving this because all of a sudden there could be a bidding war for his services between Toronto
the
and the other teams that you've mentioned. Darcy Kemper, he's got a Stanley Cup ring. He may not be in that top 5-8 group of goaltenders. We've seen him play some great hockey over the years. He was good enough for Colorado to win a Stanley Cup, but he may not be in that elite tier. That being said, it's not often you have a chance to say, you know what, we think we can contend. That guy's played in the big games. That guy has a Stanley Cup ring, and he's available. On the flip side, you look at a team like Colorado. Sure, they're going to go into the year again. Even if they lose Nazem Kadri to free agency, which is entirely possible, they're going to go into the season again as a Stanley Cup favorite. That being said, they're leaning on Alexander Georgiev right now. He's never played a starter's minutes. He's never had to go out and play 50, 60 games in a year. They like Pavel Francouz. He's still there, but they're not sure he can hold up physically for 50 to 60 games. He's been injured a lot. So not a sure thing between the pipes there. What I'm saying is they're even elite teams. The Pittsburgh Penguins, looks like they might be running it back with Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith once again. It hasn't worked the last couple of years. They're good, they're capable, but for one reason or other, it just hasn't worked for them.
And then you could throw in, at the same time, you can throw in, what's the Ottawa Senators goaltending situation? What is the Buffalo Sabres? Who's number one in Buffalo?
Yep, exactly. There are a lot of question marks around the league. Boston, they think they have their guy in Jeremy Swayman.
Yep.
But we'll see how it holds up. He's a young guy. This is going to be the most hockey he's ever played. Going into a year coming up, going to split the crease with Linus Ullmark. But the Panthers, what we're trying to illustrate, the Panthers are working from a position of strength. And I know everybody may look at Tampa Bay and say, okay, they've got Andrei Vasilevsky. That's the most stable goaltending situation in the league. Well, I'll tell you what, where the Panthers may be able to say, but maybe our situation's just a little bit better in some regards. Sure, Andrei Vasilevsky, world-class goaltender, best on the planet, probably.
Yep.
But if he's to go down, there's not much of an insurance policy there.
Yeah.
If the Panthers have to give somebody a break, whether it's Sergei Bobrovsky, whether it's Spencer Knight, they're comfortable with either guy. Not a lot of teams in the league, especially the teams at the top that can contend, can say they're comfortable with either guy. The Panthers working from a position of strength. And I tell you what, we've seen it over the years, Randy. The teams that make deep runs, you got to have two guys that you can go to.
Yeah.
Because if something happens and all of a sudden you have to throw a guy out there between the pipes in your biggest game of the year and he's never played above the American Hockey League level, you got an issue. And
Colorado did it last year, and they won it.
That's the other side of the coin. They used two guys down the stretch, but they may be using two guys again all year coming up. what we're trying to say, in a very long-winded roundabout way, the Panthers working from a big position of strength as far as the goaltending's concerned. Whether it's Sergei Bobrovsky, whether it's Spencer Knight, the Panthers are going to have a chance to win every single game coming up this year. So the goaltending, a good attribute for this Panthers team. Where are we at in this thing right now? Pick number 112, the Vancouver Canucks are on the clock, so the Panthers up next at 125. That's going to be their next selection.
We'll have that. And Doug, we're so excited. New kids on the block are coming to South Florida.
You said last night, second row?
Yeah, because Steve Goldie Goldstein, he hogged all the front row tickets. He's got like five.
And he wouldn't even give you one.
No, are you kidding me? So I got to go in the second row and look at the back of his head, but I'll be standing the whole time. New kids on the block.
New kids on the block coming up at FLA Live Arena on Saturday evening. FLALiveArena.com/events. Your place to get your tickets to NKOTB. That's quite an acronym there. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we touched a little bit on some of the moves. Randy and I are going to go through some of the trades that have been made the last day or two here. And we'll recap all that for you because, again, we've discussed it. I know all of you who are draft junkies, and I know there are a lot of you out there, whether it's the NBA draft or the NFL draft, you love the NHL draft. We're covering it for you right here. There are a lot of you that are just glued to drafts. I know I'm the same way, but it's not always just the picks that get you captivated. It's when the commissioner steps up to the podium and says we have a trade to announce. It happened a lot last night. The host team of this draft, the Montreal Canadiens, they were busy. They were making news. Because that's an Atlantic Division team, the Panthers see a lot. We're going to tell you how those moves will come into play. We'll talk about some of the other trades that were made as well. We're going to go right down the list as far as big trades made in the National Hockey League, and there have been a handful of them over the last couple of days. All that and more coming up. And by the way, Panthers fans, be sure to join the 93 Society. To stay up to date on all things Panthers, be the first to know about ticket pre-sales, events, and much more. Sign up now at floridapanthers.com/newsletter. You want to interact with us, you can tweet me at Doug Plagans. You can tweet Randy at Hey Red Deer. We're with you until 2 o'clock Eastern, covering the NHL draft for you right here. We do it every year. We're excited to be here with you once again, covering it from our South Florida studios. We'll have updates from Jameson Olive on floridapanthers.com. You can find him on Twitter at Jameson Coop. He is roaming the draft floor as we speak, so he's up there right in the middle of all of it. So we'll hear from, or we can follow along with what he's got going, his reports on Twitter. The Panthers are going to be selecting here before too long. Right now, the Kings on the clock at number 116. Make that Boston at 117. Panthers up at number 125. So we'll have that coming your way momentarily. All that and more straight ahead. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller with you. This is our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. We're with you till 2 p.m. right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Time for more Florida Panthers NHL Draft coverage on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM. FM 99.9 HD2. And streaming on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back in our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller here with you. We thank you very much for being on board with us wherever you're tuned in and however you may be tuning in here this afternoon. Lots of great stuff. Big thanks, Matt Caldwell, Panthers President, CEO, for stopping by back in our first segment here today. We're with you till 2 p.m. The Panthers will be making their fourth-round selection here very shortly. The Minnesota Wild are on the clock right now at pick number 121. The Panthers will be picking 125th. So we'll have that coming your way here very soon. The Panthers have made one pick today in the third round, number 93 overall. They chose defenseman Marek Alscher from the Portland Winterhawks of the Western Hockey League. So the Panthers have made one pick today. They are set to make six selections here on this day two of the NHL draft, which is rounds 2 through 7. And, of course, you can check out the Panthers' schedule over at floridapanthers.com. Panthers fans, secure your seats for the upcoming season. Sign up for our open house select-a-seat event coming up on Wednesday. That's July 13th at floridapanthers.com. We'll be out at FLA Live Arena. I'll be there. Come on, hang out. Pick out a seat for the upcoming season. Going to be a lot of fun to see a lot of you in person, so come and check it out. Again, floridapanthers.com is your place to go for more information. Wild on the clock at 121. Panthers will be selecting number 125. We'll have that coming your way soon. Talked about it before the break, and one of the most exciting things about all drafts, not necessarily just the draft picks, but it's the transactions that take place around the draft.
We have a trade.
And we've heard that a couple of times over the last couple of days. And you kind of had a feeling, Randy, that there would be a decent amount of this because the last couple of drafts were virtual. Now we're getting all the GMs back in the same place under one roof. They're all on the floor together. The conversations are happening, and we've had a lot of big deals that have gone down. We're going to recap all of them, give you a little bit of a summary here of the trades that have taken place. Going back to the one that kicked off the action yesterday at 1:53 p.m. Eastern, for those of you scoring at home. Yesterday, Colorado and the Rangers, they got the ball rolling as far as trades were concerned. Colorado acquired a goaltender, Alexander Georgiev, from the Rangers in exchange for a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick in this draft and a third-round pick next year. So the Rangers got three picks. Alexander Georgiev goes to Colorado, where he presumably will have the leg up as far as that starting job is concerned. Looks like he's replacing Darcy Kuemper. Things continued. Alex DeBrincat was traded by the Blackhawks to the Ottawa Senators. Now, this one affects the Panthers in a way because Ottawa's on the schedule a lot. They're in the Atlantic Division. The Panthers see them a pretty good amount. DeBrincat, proven 35-40 goal scorer, goes to Ottawa. Chicago gets a first-round pick in this draft. That was the seventh overall pick, a second-round pick in this draft, and a 2024 third-rounder. So, Randy, that was really the beginning of the teardown for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, but what's so confusing to me, and I've heard this as well, I'm not the only one that has this kind of opinion, is I understand that the Chicago Blackhawks want to strip it down and start over and do a rebuild, okay? I totally agree with that. That's the way that you are able to get back and climb back up and win championships. But you go and trade your two best young offensive forwards. One's 23 and one's 24, DeBrincat and Kirby
Dock, and we'll get to that one in a minute here. But usually those are the guys that
you
keep
build around.
Yeah.
You build around, and I understand that you get draft picks in that, but an Alex DeBrincat, that type of talent, what, he's fifth in the NHL last year in goals?
He's a regular 35-40 goal guy.
Yeah, they don't fall out of trees, Doug. And I'm not quite sure of that. And maybe there's something that we don't know. Maybe they want to change the culture in the room, and maybe there were some issues. I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, but that's usually the players that you build around, is those type of players in Alex DeBrincat. I'm not quite sure I understand that. We'll give it some time and see where it's at. But then on the other side of that trade is, what is Jonathan Toews and Kane, Patrick Kane, thinking?
Seth Jones.
And Seth Jones, who's got a long-term deal at over $9 million a year. Do they want to be a part of this? And I believe Toews and Kane have 1 year left on their massive contracts or whatever. But that would be tough on them. They're very successful veterans that have won the Stanley Cup 3 times. And whether they want to be around, because let's face it, with the way that the Chicago Blackhawks are going, they're stripping this right down. They could have the number one or not the number one draft pick. They'd have the most balls in the bingo game for the draft lottery coming up next year, finishing 32nd or 31st or what have you. There's a lot of question marks, and there's been a lot of criticism. We have to be honest. There's been a lot of criticism from the fans and media types in the Chicago area. That they didn't get enough for Alex DeBrincat.
And in mentioning, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but in mentioning the 2023 draft, people are already talking about the talent depth that draft has, specifically with the guy at the top, this Connor Bedard. Sounds like he's quite a phenom, and he is getting talked about. We don't want to put any unfair comparisons on a 17-year-old kid here, but the comparisons that are being thrown around and the level of hype that he's getting is only matched by certain other really special players that we've seen in the past. We'll see how things go there. The other thing, I got to hand it, I know it makes the Atlantic Division deeper, but got to hand it to Pierre Dorion there in Ottawa, because this is a big swing for the fences, and especially
if they're able to
lock up DeBrincat, we'll see how things go there. If they're able to get him beyond this year, they are positioning themselves pretty nicely for a team that is on the upswing that hopes to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, a lot of prospects, a lot of good young players in Ottawa. It's just, it's going to take some time, but you add a piece like Alex DeBrincat right away, immediately, and a first line winger, power play. Boy, he brings it all. So exciting time in Ottawa, and good for them.
And it says a lot for, it probably says a lot for the guys in the dressing room, too. They had a 7th overall pick, Ottawa did. They said, you know what? We're done making picks. We want a guy that can come in here and make us better right now. And they went and got a guy who's a proven goal scorer, as good as anybody in the National Hockey League. So that was one big trade. Then the Blackhawks were back at it. The fire sale continued. This was the head scratcher. They traded Kirby Dock, a young centerman, I believe 21 years old, the 3rd overall pick just a few years back. Traded him to the host team at the draft, the Montreal Canadiens, in exchange for a 1st and a 2nd in this draft. So Montreal, in mentioning the Atlantic Division, teams the Panthers are going to see a lot. The Panthers are going to get a heavy dose of Kirby Dock now, with him being in the Atlantic Division. Montreal hopes that he becomes that top 6 centerman. You go Dock Suzuki, Suzuki Dock down the middle, however you want to structure it. Montreal believes that they've got their top 2 line centers locked up now for a long time.
And that goes back to a number of years ago, the Montreal Canadiens, where they made some trades of assets to stock up on those draft picks in order to make that trade and get these type of players.
And
you can't trade draft picks that you don't have.
Right.
And the Montreal Canadiens, that goes back a couple of years ago with Marc Bergevin as their general manager at that time. He saw the writing on the wall, and he needed to collect some draft picks in order to make these type of moves.
And to set that up, the Canadiens traded Alexander Romanov in a 4th-round pick in exchange for that 1st-round pick to help them make that deal. The Panthers have made their selection in the 4th round. Defenseman Ludvig Janssen chosen at number 125 by the Panthers. So another defenseman. We'll have some information on him coming up here. in just a moment. The Panthers have made their fourth-round selection. Ludvig Johnsson selected here in round number four at pick number 125. 18-year-old defenseman, a right shot, 6 feet tall, 176 pounds. Again, 18 years old, as the players in the draft are. He played last year. 47 games in the top league in Sweden, and you can't put too much stock in the point totals. 5 points in 47 games, but playing in that league at 17 years old, that says a lot about where they believed his development was. The coaching staff there clearly trusted him, but typically those kind of players don't get the big point-producing opportunities, the power play minutes, things like that. So he played in the top league in Sweden last year, also played 9 games in the Swedish Junior League. So coming out of Sweden, defenseman, 6 feet tall, and Ludvig Johnsson, the most recent Panthers draft pick. So again, back-to-back defensemen the Panthers have selected with their first two picks in this draft, the third and fourth round selections, going back to what we were talking about, Randy.
Well, the good news for the Florida Panthers is, and unlike a number of years ago where the Panthers maybe had to rush some of their players, whether it was defensemen or forwards or goaltenders, into maybe a position with the big club that they weren't comfortable with. And the good news is these two young defensemen that the Panthers have taken so far in this draft, they will have time to develop at their own pace and the pace that everybody, the player and the team, are comfortable with.
Yeah, it's a luxury that the Panthers have here at this point in time. Ranked number 35 by NHL Central Scouting as far as European skaters are concerned. So seems like as far as that's concerned, pick number 125, probably right around in the neighborhood. Hard to project, of course. These are 18-year-olds that we're talking about, but probably right in the neighborhood where you'd expect him to be off the board. So he's been selected by the Panthers here in round number four. We're going to take a brief pause. We'll come back, kick off hour number two, going through the rest of the trades that have taken place. A lot of movement across the National Hockey League the last couple of days. We'll get to all that. The Panthers have made two selections today, both defensemen. Their next pick is going to be pick number 157 in the fifth round. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit as well. Doug Plagans alongside Randy Moeller here this afternoon. Another hour of NHL draft coverage on the other side of the break. This is our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Time for more Florida Panthers NHL Draft coverage on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM. FM 99.9 HD2. And streaming on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back in our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller here with you. We thank you very much for being on board with us wherever you're tuned in and however you may be tuning in here this afternoon. Lots of great stuff. Big thanks, Matt Caldwell, Panthers President, CEO, for stopping by back in our first segment here today. We're with you till 2 p.m. The Panthers will be making their fourth-round selection here very shortly. The Minnesota Wild are on the clock right now at pick number 121. The Panthers will be picking 125th. So we'll have that coming your way here very soon. The Panthers have made one pick today in the third round, number 93 overall. They chose defenseman Marek Alscher from the Portland Winterhawks of the Western Hockey League. So the Panthers have made one pick today. They are set to make six selections here on this day two of the NHL draft, which is rounds two through seven. And, of course, you can check out the Panthers' schedule over at FloridaPanthers.com. Panthers fans, secure your seats for the upcoming season. Sign up for our open house select a seat event coming up on Wednesday. That's July 13th at FloridaPanthers.com. We'll be out at FLA Live Arena. I'll be there. Come on, hang out. Pick out a seat for the upcoming season. Going to be a lot of fun to see a lot of you in person, so come and check it out. Again, FloridaPanthers.com is your place to go for more information. Wild on the clock at 121. Panthers will be selecting number 125. We'll have that coming your way soon. Talked about it before the break, and one of the most exciting things about all drafts, not necessarily just the draft picks, but it's the transactions that take place around the draft.
We have a trade.
And we've heard that a couple of times over the last couple of days. And you kind of had a feeling, Randy, that there would be a decent amount of this because the last couple of drafts were virtual. Now we're getting all the GMs back in the same place, under one roof. They're all on the floor together. The conversations are happening, and we've had a lot of big deals that have gone down. We're going to recap all of them, give you a little bit of a summary here of the trades that have taken place. Going back to the one that kicked off the action yesterday at 1:53 p.m. Eastern, for those of you scoring at home. Yesterday, Colorado and the Rangers, they got the ball rolling as far as trades were concerned. Colorado acquired a goaltender, Alexander Georgiev, from the Rangers in exchange for a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick in this draft and a third-round pick next year. So the Rangers got three picks. Alexander Georgiev goes to Colorado, where he presumably will have the leg up as far as that starting job is concerned. Looks like he's replacing Darcy Kuemper. Things continued. Alex DeBrincat was traded by the Blackhawks to the Ottawa Senators. Now, this one affects the Panthers in a way because Ottawa's on the schedule a lot. They're in the Atlantic Division. The Panthers see them a pretty good amount. DeBrincat, proven 35-40 goal scorer, goes to Ottawa. Chicago gets a first-round pick in this draft. That was the seventh overall pick, a second-round pick in this draft, and a 2024 third-rounder. So, Randy, that was really the beginning of the teardown for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, but what's so confusing to me, and I've heard this as well, I'm not the only one that has this kind of opinion, is I understand that the Chicago Blackhawks want to strip it down and start over and do a rebuild, okay? I totally agree with that. That's the way that you are able to get back and climb back up and win championships. But you go and trade your two best young offensive forwards, one's 23 and one's 24, DeBrincat and Kirby
Doc, and we'll get to that one in a minute here. But usually those are the guys that
you
keep to build around.
Yeah. You build around, and I understand that you get draft picks in that, but an Alex DeBrincat, that type of talent, what, he's fifth in the NHL last year in goals?
He's a regular 35-40 goal guy.
Yeah, they don't fall out of trees, Doug. And I'm not quite sure of that. And maybe there's something that we don't know. Maybe they want to change the culture in the room, and maybe there were some issues. I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, but that's usually the players that you build around, is those type of players in Alex DeBrincat. I'm not quite sure I understand that. We'll give it some time and see where it's at. But then on the other side of that trade is, what is Jonathan Toews and Kane, Patrick Kane, thinking?
Seth Jones.
And Seth Jones, who's got a long-term deal at over $9 million a year. Do they want to be a part of this? And I believe Toews and Kane have 1 year left on their massive contracts or whatever. But that would be tough on them. They're very successful veterans that have won the Stanley Cup three times. And whether they want to be around, because let's face it, with the way that the Chicago Blackhawks are going, they're stripping this right down. They could be, they could have the number one or not the number one draft pick. They'd have the most balls in the bingo game for the draft lottery coming up next year, finishing 32nd or 31st or what have you. There's a lot of question marks, and there's been a lot of criticism. We have to be honest. There's been a lot of criticism from the fans and media types in the Chicago area. That they didn't get enough for Alex DeBrincat.
And in mentioning, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but in mentioning the 2023 draft, people are already talking about the talent depth that draft has, specifically with the guy at the top, this Connor Bedard. Sounds like he's quite a phenom, and he is getting talked about. We don't want to put any unfair comparisons on a 17-year-old kid here, but the comparisons that are being thrown around and the level of hype that he's getting is only matched by certain other really special players that we've seen in the past. We'll see how things go there. The other thing, I got to hand it, I know it makes the Atlantic Division deeper, but got to hand it to Pierre Dorion there in Ottawa, because this is a big swing for the fences, and especially
if they're able to
lock up DeBrincat, we'll see how things go there. If they're able to get him beyond this year, they are positioning themselves pretty nicely for a team that is on the upswing that hopes to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, a lot lot of prospects, a lot of good young players in Ottawa. It's just it's going to take some time, but you add a piece like Alex DeBrincat right away, immediately, and a first line winger, power play. Boy, he brings it all. So exciting time in Ottawa, and good for them.
And it says a lot for, you know, it probably says a lot for the guys in the dressing room, too. They had a seventh overall pick, Ottawa did. They said, you know what? We're done making picks. We want a guy that can come in here and make us better right now. And they went and got a guy who's a proven goal scorer, as good as anybody in the National Hockey League. So that was one big trade. Then the Blackhawks were back at it. The fire sale continued. This was the head-scratcher. They traded Kirby Dach, a young centerman, I believe 21 years old, third overall pick just a few years back, traded him to the host team at the draft, the Montreal Canadiens, in exchange for a first and a second in this draft. So Montreal, in mentioning the Atlantic Division, teams the Panthers are going to see a lot. The Panthers are going to get a heavy dose of Kirby Dach now with him being in the Atlantic Division. Montreal hopes that he becomes that top six centerman. You go Dach Suzuki, Suzuki Dach down the middle, however you want to structure it. Montreal believes that they've got their top two line centers locked up now for a long time.
And that goes back to a number of years ago, the Montreal Canadiens, where they made some trades of assets to stock up on those draft picks in order to make that trade and get these type of players.
And
you can't trade draft picks that you don't have.
Right.
And the Montreal Canadiens, that goes back a couple of years ago with Marc Bergevin as their general manager at that time. He saw the writing on the wall, and he needed to collect some draft picks in order to make these type of moves.
And to set that up, the Canadiens traded Alexander Romanov in a fourth-round pick in exchange for that first-round pick to help them make that deal. The Panthers have made their selection in the fourth round. Defenseman Ludvig Janssen chosen at number 125 by the Panthers. So another defenseman. We'll have some information on him coming up here in just a moment. The Panthers have made their fourth round selection. Ludvig Janssen selected here in round number four at pick number 125. 18-year-old defenseman, a right shot, 6 feet tall, 176 pounds. Again, 18 years old, as the players in the draft are. He played last year. 47 games in the top league in Sweden, and you can't put too much stock in the point totals. 5 points in 47 games, but playing in that league at 17 years old, that says a lot about where they believed his development was. The coaching staff there clearly trusted him, but typically those kind of players don't get the big point-producing opportunities, the power play minutes, things like that. So he played in the top league in Sweden last year, also played 9 games in the Swedish Junior League. So coming out of Sweden, defenseman, 6 feet tall, and Ludvig Janssen, the most recent Panthers draft pick. So again, back-to-back defensemen the Panthers have selected with their first two picks in this draft, the third and fourth round selections, going back to what we were talking about, Randy.
Well, the good news for the Florida Panthers is, and unlike a number of years ago, where the Panthers maybe had to rush some of their players, whether it was defensemen or forwards or goaltenders, into maybe a position with the big club that they weren't comfortable with. And the good news is these two young defensemen that the Panthers have taken so far in this draft, they will have time to develop at their own pace and the pace that everybody, the player and the team, are comfortable with.
Yeah, that's a luxury that the Panthers have here at this point in time. Ranked number 35 by NHL Central Scouting as far as European skaters are concerned. So seems like as far as that's concerned, pick number 125, probably right around in the neighborhood. Hard to project, of course. These are 18-year-olds that we're talking about, but probably right in the neighborhood where you'd expect him to be off the board. So he's been selected by the Panthers here in round number four. We're going to take a brief pause. We'll come back, kick off hour number two, going through the rest of the trades that have taken place. A lot of movement across the National Hockey League the last couple of days. We'll get to all that. The Panthers have made two selections today, both defensemen. Their next pick is going to be pick number 157 in the fifth round. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit as well. Doug Plagans alongside Randy Moeller here this afternoon. Another hour of NHL draft coverage on the other side of the break. This is our ongoing coverage of the 2022 NHL Draft right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.